Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm so glad you're here this morning. You may be seated. And I'm so glad and thankful for being able to be a part of the chapel service today. The weather's a little different here than it is in Florida. In Florida, it's 83 degrees right now. And the sun shines almost all the time, every single day. And we have a wonderful time there in the wonderful state of Florida. And there's a lot I'm going to say about it in just a moment. But I first want to thank Pastor Chapel for the privilege to preach today behind his pulpit. I want to thank Dr. Goetsch for the invitation. And Dr. Goetsch, I want to thank you, Dr. Rasmussen, all the faculty here for the investment that you are making in the lives of these students. And I want to thank you students for being here. There's a great need for you today in our world. And you are training for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so excited about that. As Dr. Goetsch said, I'm Pastor Glenn Wiggins, and I want to let you know a little bit about myself. I am from Naples, Florida. And Naples, Florida is from the southwest part of Florida down there. When he talks about the entertainment in Florida, that's basically based in Orlando, right up there. And you have Mickey Mouse, and you have Shamu the Whale, and you have Universal Studios, and all those things. How many of you have ever been to Florida before? Would you lift your hand big and high? Good. How many of you live in Florida? You live in Florida. Good. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. A lot coming here from Florida to West Coast Baptist College. And I thank God for Florida. I was born in Florida. My wife was born in Florida. My daughters were born in Florida. So many times you don't meet people from Florida, but now you've met somebody from Florida who was born and raised there. And I thank the Lord for our city. Our city is a great city where we live. Naples, Florida, it's beautiful. God's been so very good to us. Yes, there's a lot of old people in Florida, but there's also a lot of young people in Florida. There are some young people who need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something else about Florida. Florida is a multicultural place. If you go to Miami, if you study the movement of God in Florida, you'll find in Miami there were two or three great big churches like Lancaster Baptist here is in Lancaster. And if you study it out in Florida, these churches just did a great job getting the gospel out. But there's a need now. There's millions of people in Miami, and there's not many churches there at all. I don't think the biggest church in Miami that's our type of church is probably running even over 500 people. It's amazing to see the need that's there. There's needs all up and down the coast. Florida's a great place to come and reach people for Jesus Christ. As the preacher said, it's not the Bible Belt. We call it the Bible Toe sometimes, what we call it. And people need the gospel now more than ever before. And maybe God can use you. Do you know right now, every week, I hear about churches that the pastors are there and they've served for 30 and 40 years and now they're kind of going off into retirement and they can't find anybody to come take these churches? You know, in Florida, there's a great need to start churches. There's new towns cropping up everywhere. There's one called Ava Maria. It's kind of got a Catholic-sounding town, but it's booming. There's a place called Immokalee just close to us. It's primarily a Spanish-speaking city. A lot of migrants come there, and they need the gospel. Mexico needs the gospel, but how many realize the world's coming to us? And if you want to go somewhere and reach some people for Christ, come to Florida. And I'd love to help you and get on staff, get trained somewhere, and we'd love to help you to get in a town where there's no good gospel preaching church. How many want to serve God with your life? Would you say amen? Amen. I'm so glad for that, and it's a wonderful thing. Well, I got saved when I was 12 at the Seagate Baptist Church, and I met my wife. We've been married 29 years this year, and met her when I was 12 years old. I got saved, and about 2 days later, she walked through the side door, and I said, "Who's that girl?" And they said, "That's the pastor's daughter." And I said, "She's pretty." And the guy said to me, "You'll never have a chance with her." And I said, "We'll see." And 29 years we've been married. We have three wonderful daughters. Caitlin, who's a graduate of West Coast Baptist College. Our youngest daughter's named Carly. And she's praying about what the Lord will have her to do. She's almost 16 years old. And then our middle daughter, our daughter who's kind of our quiet daughter of the bunch, is Carissa. And Carissa's here today. Carissa, raise your hand because I know you don't want to be embarrassed. Good. Carissa's here. I got a wonderful son-in-law. And Jake, and I think I might have a guy working on being a son-in-law down the road. You pray about that anyway. So wonderful. I'm thank God about that. So now you know who I am. My name's Glenn. I want you to tell me on the count of three your name. Ready? One, two, three. Nice to meet you. And I'm so glad you're here today. And honestly, I just want to be a blessing. I want to be a help to you today because I know you're about 3 weeks out from finishing up. Some of you are seniors about to finish up. Some of you have tests and different meetings you have going on, so there's a lot going on right now in your life. And I just want to be a blessing. and I want to be a help to you today. Would you take the Word of God with me and turn with me to the book of Jude, please? To the book of Jude. Today I want to help you to fulfill God's will for your life. The Bible said David served his own generation by the will of God. And I know it's the heartbeat of this pastor of this church. I know it's the heartbeat of Dr. Getch and Dr. Rasmussen and the leaders here, that they want to help you fulfill the will of God for your life in this generation. I meant it when I said it earlier, that we need you right now. America needs some preachers. America needs some youth directors. America needs some men of God. America needs some women of God as well. Matter of fact, the world needs some men of God. And the world needs some women of God as well. When you come to the book of Jude, you're right next door to the book of Revelation. And how many of you know that we are on the precipice of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? He could come any day. I mean, I was watching those bombs and those drones go over Israel, over that dome there. And many people were tweeting or whatever they call it now and posting on social media, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." But when you come to the book of Jude, it's such a relevant book. It's a book that's written to believers. It's a book that's written to those who are called. It's a book that shows us some things that are happening, even as relevant as it was written back then, as relevant as it is today. We see in the book of Jude here in verse number 3, we see that this book was written and told about a lot of apostasy that would happen. The Bible says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that you should exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who before have ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We see in this book of Jude there's a great warning against apostasy and how in these last days there'll be those who'll turn away from the faith, and we need to stand and contend for the faith. In this book of Jude, we learn about the adversity in these last days. There's a list of men and people who fought against God and against God's word. Verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." We're given some different names in this chapter here. We see those of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the way of Cain, the heir of Balaam, the gangsang of Korah. Then we see not only those who fight against God and God's work in this book, but we see the adversary himself. We see the devils mentioned here as Michael the archangel contends against the devil here. We see this in verse number 9, if you'll mark your Bible there. In verse number 9, they're contending. We have an adversary. We can see this in the doctrines that he's trying to corrupt and he's trying to promote. We can see it through some of his workers. We can see it because his ultimate goal is to make you and I disappear. This is why he's like that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, to make disappear. He doesn't want you to serve God. He doesn't want you to live for God. He doesn't want you to finish and graduate, whether you're a freshman or you're a senior. He doesn't want you to finish and do what God wants you to do for your life. He doesn't want you to pastor that church. He doesn't want you to go to that mission field. He doesn't want you to teach in that Christian school one day. Hey, he doesn't want you to do those kind of things. And he's doing everything in his power in this day to get you to change, to get you to compromise, and to get you to quit, and to make you disappear this morning. Then I see in verse number 24 and 25, in this great day, we see apostasy, we see adversity, we see the adversary, but we see this assurance we have in verses 24, "Now unto him that is able." Whoa, wait a minute. Aren't you glad that God is able this morning? In the midst of apostasy, in the midst of adversity, and in the midst of the adversary, I want you to know there is one who's able today to help you. There's one today. I thought about this when I was in Bible college many, many years ago. I thought about some of the great preachers that came through, and I thought about how God used them. And we heard the stories of preachers of yesteryear and years before, how God would use these men in such a great way, and how God used some of these women in such a great way to do a great work for God back in the 1970s or the 1960s or the 1950s or maybe in the 1980s and maybe even the 1990s. And we think, can God still do it now? He can still do it now, because the God that was able in 1950 is still the God that is able in 2024. Somebody ought to say amen right there. We have this assurance. But then we come to verse 20. And this is what I want to kind of hone in on today. The Bible says, "But ye," would you circle those two words, please? "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look at verse 22. You know it. And if some have compassion, would you read those last three words with me? Ready to begin? Making a difference. I want you to know we have apostasy in this book. We have adversity in this book. We have the adversary in this book. We have the assurance in this book. But God gives us an answer. He gives us an answer. You say, who's the answer? Look here. But ye. But ye. Building, praying, keeping, looking, making, pulling. But ye. But ye are the answer. Do you know, do you realize that you might be the answer to somebody's prayer? Do you know there could be a church right now who's praying that some young man will come and take that church? And do you know that you might be the very one who goes and does that? You might be the answer to somebody's prayer. You might be the answer to somebody's prayer today. But ye, listen, but some have compassion, making a difference. This morning, I want to preach for just a couple minutes on this thought, being a difference maker. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. You'd arrest our attention. And Lord, I pray as we spend this time honing in, there's no doubt in my mind that this was ordained of you. Lord, just for the fact that we talked about Florida this morning, the needs of the great state of Florida, the needs of the world. Lord, there's a great need today. And the great need, I'm praying that somebody here today, if not all of us today, will decide, with God's help, we'll be a difference maker. Lord, would you help us in this way? Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Look here, please. Look here. Do you want to be a difference maker? Yes or no? Talk to me. Yes. Okay. Now, this guy in the front, I heard him. What about all of us? Let's say it again like you really want. Do you want to be a difference maker?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Well, if you want to be a difference maker, there's some things we need to do. You know, you can be a difference maker. One play can make a difference in a ball game. One speech can make a difference. You don't believe me? Ask Abraham Lincoln. One act can make a difference. One moment can make a difference. If there's ever been a time in history, in our history, that we need God's people to really grasp this afresh and anew, it's now. When you search through the Bible, you'll find many people who God used to make a difference. I've studied the Bible and people who are difference makers. Let me just give you a couple things by way of introduction. Number one, people who are difference makers, they were people who are different. Now, I'm not talking about being weird. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm talking about people who decided they were going to stand out and stand up. I'm talking about people who decided they were going to go against the tide. I'm talking about people who decide to be a difference maker. They were different. They were going to do the hard thing. They weren't marching to the beat of their own drum, but they were marching to the beat of heaven's drum. Listen, these folks, they were people who were different. Not only they were people who were different, but by way of introduction, let me give you this thought. They were mostly people who were young. Now, how many of you still feel like you're young in here? Would you raise your hand big and high? Good. And I'm glad for that. But have you ever stopped to consider how many young people God used in the Bible to do something significant for him? There's Joseph, Genesis 37. He was sold into slavery at the age of 17 by his brothers. He was young, but God used him to be one of the greatest rulers ever. There's Esther. She's just a young maiden who's just a young person who later becomes the queen. There's David, little youth, thou art but a youth, David, who God uses in a great way and becomes the king of Israel. There's Josiah, who became the king of Judah when he was just 8 years old, and he reigned for 40 years, and through God led a mighty revival. There's Daniel. How about Shadrach? Look here, Meshach and Abednego. These men who would honor God in such a great way. Listen, they were young. How about Mary and Joseph? They weren't old. They weren't retirees in Florida. They were young people. They were young men and young women who yielded themselves to God completely. And you know what happened with all of these I just mentioned? They were difference makers. Let me ask you a question. Talk to me now. Do you want to be a difference maker?
Yes.
I've studied the lives of these I just mentioned. They have qualities and characteristics that we can put together and see if you really want to be a difference maker, here's what you got to do. Are you ready? Sit up, put your seatbelt on, write it down. Number one, if you want to be a difference maker, you have to realize you are created for a purpose. Realize you were created for a purpose. When you examine these lives of these, you understand that they were people who came from different backgrounds. God uses different people in different ways. You say, well, you don't understand, preacher, you don't understand today. I want to be a difference maker, but you don't understand the circumstances I come from. You don't understand the city I live in. You don't understand the culture around me. You don't understand the characteristics I have. I'm not popular. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too tall. I'm too short. My parents aren't Christians. My parents are divorced. My parents aren't around. My parents were adopted. You don't understand my story. You don't understand where I came from. You don't understand my difficulty. But I want you to understand every story is different. And different makers come in all different shapes, in all different sizes, in all different sorts. But they come to the point in their life where they realize they were created for a purpose. I'm 12 years old. I get saved. I start attending the Seagate Baptist Church. I have my eyes on the pastor's daughter. My wife came from a wonderful Christian family. Her dad was a pastor of our church for 43 years. And Pastor Meredith up to 50 years until the Lord called him home. Came from a wonderful family. Her brother's a pastor. Her sister was a young lady who had brain cancer when she was 9. But God worked miraculously in her life. And she lived some 30 years. And she had this wonderful testimony. I mean, she came from a wonderful family. Let me tell you the family I came from. I had a wonderful mom and dad, but my parents got divorced. My dad owned the local bar in town. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. Owned the local bar in town. My brothers and sisters, we love each other, but we fought more than we did anything else. I mean, here, God puts me together with this wonderful woman. Listen, what I had to learn at a young age, God can use the preacher's daughter or the preacher's son, but God can also use the bar owner's son. Somebody say amen right there. God can use, listen, God can use you that were from a home where a mom and dad were, where they were married and they stayed together and they're still been married, but God can also use you if you're from a divorced background. God can use you if your mom and dad dropped you off at college and are helping pay your school bill. But God can also use you if maybe mom and dad didn't drop you off at college. Matter of fact, they might have opposed you coming to a college like this, but God can use you. You see, God created you for a purpose. Sometimes we think God only uses perfect people from a perfect situation. My friend, that's so untrue. Joseph, he was the youngest. His brothers hated him so much, and they sold him into slavery. Esther had parents who both died, and she was being raised by her cousin in a land occupied by the Persians. David was the forgotten one, the ready one, the one everybody laughed at. Nobody took him seriously. Josiah was only 8. And his parents were non-believers. They were wicked. Daniel and the Hebrew children, they were kidnapped, brought to another nation. Their names were changed. Their nourishment was changed. Everything was changed. Mary and Joseph had these dreams and these plans, but they seemed to be dashed. What I'm trying to say is God uses people from different ways and different backgrounds and different sorts of life. And so God made you and God made them for a purpose. Embrace that purpose. The Bible said, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you understand today? God made no mistakes when he made you. We're living in a generation right now where these teenagers are coming up and young people are coming up, and they are questioning their sexuality. They're questioning who they are. They're questioning everything about themselves. But you understand today, you are a special creation of God. God made no mistakes when he made you. God made no mistakes when he placed you in the family you're in. God made no mistakes when he gave you the eye color he gave you. God made no mistakes when he created you the gender you are. God made no mistakes when he made you the height you are or the lack thereof. God made no mistakes when he placed you into the city that you're in. God made no mistakes in the circumstances of your life. As a matter of fact, God has been to work all those things together for good and for His glory. Amy Carmichael was born not too far away from the seaside town in Northern Ireland. Her story shows that even in the 19th century, Amy was suffering with how she looked and wanted to be different. Her story also shows how God makes all of us in His image and for His own amazing purposes. As a young girl, Amy Carmichael wished she had blue eyes instead of brown. She even prayed that God would change her eye color and was disappointed when it didn't happen. At the age of 20, Amy sensed the Lord was calling her to serve Him as a missionary. After serving in various places, she went to India. Amy would go on to India, become one of the greatest missionaries to set foot in that land. In her time there, Amy founded an orphanage, school, and safe house for young girls. Amy played a major role in breaking the ancient practice of abandoning baby girls to the steps of the pagan temples to be trained up as cult prostitutes. Over 1,000 girls were saved from the lives of prostitution. And instead, were taught to read and give back their dignity that society had taken away from them. And they were saved eternally from hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amy learned that her unwanted brown eyes were a far more precious gift from God than the value she once placed on the blue ones. Why? Because those brown eyes, enabled her easily to fit into the culture of India. And God had wisely given her the features of dark brown hair and brown eyes, just like the thousands of young girls and women that she would one day grow up to rescue. You know what she did? She realized, finally, that she was created for a purpose. Do you want to be a difference maker? If you do, I want you to realize God made you. And you are different. You're one of a kind. And what you think could be your biggest flaw, brown eyes, might be the thing that God uses to make a difference in this world. Have you noticed that some people in this life just can never be stopped, no matter what happens to them? And no matter what today, if you want to be a difference maker, by the way, do you want to be a difference maker? Then you have to remember you're created for a purpose. Number two, if you want to be a difference maker, would you write down, please? You have to have a cause bigger than yourself. If you're going to be a difference maker, if I'm going to be a difference maker in this generation, you have to get wrapped up in something, more importantly, someone bigger than yourselves. When you study the life of Solomon, he got all wrapped up in himself. He sought after the pleasures of this world, the things of this world, the people of this world. He sought after all this world had to offer. And he adds it all up in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, all the wine I had and all the women I had and all the wealth I had and all the wisdom I had and all these things I sought for under the sun without God, it all equals vanity, nothingness, emptiness. That's all it equals, nothingness. He understood this in his life, that he got caught up in himself. By the way, that's what happens when you get caught up in living for yourself, pleasing yourself, thinking only about yourself. Is you're going to end up your life, you're going to get the end of your life, you're going to say, this wasn't worth it at all. There's a lot of young people that struggle because you've been raised in a good home and you've never, quote unquote, sowed your wild oats. And so you think you want to go out there into the world. Truth of the matter is, you might go out in the world and you might never return. You might go out and by God's grace, you might return. But friend, I want you to know this world has nothing to offer. Just this Sunday, we had a man in our church who raised his hand and said, please pray for a young man I'm counseling. He's 22 years old. He's already an alcoholic. He was raised in a good Christian home. He was raised with a mom and dad who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He called me on the phone and said, I was in the club and I was looking around and the music was playing and the liquor was flowing. And he said to himself, what in the world am I doing here? This does not bring fulfillment. You know what happens? Sometimes we get too wrapped up in a cause, our own cause, instead of a cause bigger than ourselves. But when Solomon looked back through the years and he realized living a life without God and living for himself, he said, it's all empty. And so what Solomon's teaching us here is that joy doesn't come for living for things under the sun, but living for the one above the sun. We live in a very, very me-first society. We have the selfies. I'm not a big selfie person. They were taking selfies last night, and B-reels, you know, I had to get into them. And they took a B-reel. How many got B-reel? Would you raise your hand? And that's really not B-reel. They're not real. You say, what do you mean? Well, they took a picture last night, and I said, I don't like the way I look. And the one girl that was with us, she said, with our group, my wife and I, she said, well, you got to take B-reels because this is how you really are. And then she took the phone and she blew up the picture and saw herself. And she said, I don't like this. Let's take another shot, okay? You know what happens? You take a picture, someone takes a picture, what do? They get the phone and you blow up on yourself because it's all about us. But if you're going to make it be a difference maker, you have to get your eyes off yourself and what you do and what you don't have and put your eyes on Jesus Christ. Joseph, he didn't have to give the interpretation of the dream, but at the end of his life in Genesis 50, he reminds everyone that it was God that meant it for good. You know what happened? Joseph got wrapped up in a cause bigger than themselves. Esther realized she was brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know what happened? She got wrapped up in a cause bigger than herself. David, when he came to the Valley of Elah, he was just delivering lunch and didn't plan to get involved until he heard Goliath speak against God. Something stirred within him, and he said, is there not a cause? You know what happened? David got wrapped up in a cause bigger than himself. Josiah began to seek the Lord after he became king and did what he did because he got wrapped up in a cause bigger than himself. Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they didn't eat the portion of the king's meat or drink the king's wine. They didn't bend. They didn't bow. They didn't burn. Why? Because they got caught up in a cause bigger than themselves. The Hebrew children, Mary and Joseph, they had some plans they had, but they realized that God had bigger plans for them and bigger dreams for them. You know why they realized that? Because they got wrapped up in a cause bigger than themselves. Let me ask you a question this morning. What cause are you wrapped up in this morning? There's a greater cause than making money. There's a greater cause than being famous. There's a greater cause than any sport. There's a greater cause than video games this morning. There's a greater cause than any career. Listen, what are you going to do with your life? Listen, there's a greater cause today. And can I tell you what that cause is? It's the cause of Jesus Christ this morning. I want to be a difference maker, don't you? Then you got to get wrapped up in a cause bigger than yourself. John Wesley said, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I would set the world on fire. Nearly 200 years ago, there were two Scottish brothers. One was named David, the other one named John. John lived his life for making money, becoming wealthy, and he did. If you look up his name in the old Encyclopedia Britannicas, you'll find his name was John Livingston. It's simply listed. And here's what it says about John, the brother of David Livingston. Who was David Livingston? He was a man who got wrapped up in a cause bigger than himself. David said, I will place no value on anything I have or possessions unless it is in relationship to the kingdom of God. If you go to the Westminster Abbey and you can read his memorial that's there, it says this of David Livingston. For 30 years, his life was spent in an unwearied effort to evangelize. On his 59th birthday, David Livingston wrote, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to thee. You know what happened? Look here. David Livingston got wrapped up, my friends, in a cause bigger than himself. And if you're going to be a difference maker, you have to realize you were created for a purpose. You have to, number two, you have to realize and get wrapped up in a cause bigger than yourself. Number three, write it down, please. You have to have courage. When I preached my first sermon as a 13-year-old young man in a competition, we were in Jacksonville, Florida. And I remember that night I was going to preach in front of the Jacksonville University there. They'd rented the place out, and I remember I was going to preach. My pastor told me to use the word courage instead of guts. And I remember that night I got up as a 13-year-old boy and I said, I want to tell you something tonight. It takes guts to serve Jesus Christ. And then I said, oh, I'm not supposed to say that. My pastor said, I'm not supposed to use the word guts from the pulpit. And everybody began to laugh there. But I want you to tell you something this morning. It does take guts to serve Jesus Christ. It does take courage. It takes guts. It takes courage to be a difference maker. When you decide you want to be a difference maker, you decide to follow Jesus, you decide to be all in for God, be ready for opposition. Be ready for all hell to break loose on you and come against you. When you decide you're going to finish, when you decide you're going to surrender, when you decide you're going to take a stand for God, listen, be ready for opposition. Joseph, listen, it took courage for him to say no to Potiphar's wife. Amen. It took courage. It took guts for him to say no to Potiphar's wife. He could easily gave in. But when everybody else is going one way, Joseph decided, hey, I'm going to say no. It takes courage to say no. It took courage for Joseph. Listen to this now. It took courage for Joseph to forgive his brothers. One of the hardest things and one of the bravest things that you can do and one of the toughest decisions you'll ever make in your life is to forgive people who've hurt you. You want to be a difference maker? It takes courage. Ask Esther if it takes courage. It took courage for her to go to the king without permission. It took courage to expose Haman. Listen, everybody loves the line for such a time as this. But that would just be a line if Esther didn't have the courage and actually go and follow through with it. David had the courage to face the giant who was taller and tougher, that warrior. It took courage to go and face him. Josiah, at 8 years old, growing up, it took courage for him to tear down the idols, to tear down the altars to the idols. It took courage to rebuild and remain at the temple. It took courage to lead that rebellious people into spiritual renewal and revival. It took courage for Daniel not to eat the king's meat. It took courage for him not to stop praying, even though he knew that he'd be thrown in the lion's den. It took courage for the Hebrew boys not to bend and bow and boogie. It took courage when they were being bound in their hands to be brought to that furnace which was lit 7 times. It took courage for them to not bend the knee and bow a knee. Listen, I tell you what we need today. We need some young men. We need some young women who'll be courageous for Jesus Christ in this generation and be a difference maker for God. Amen. Mary and Joseph, it took courage to go with God's plan, to change their plans and to do this task. Listen, do you want to be a difference maker? Yes. It takes courage. Life isn't easy. Life isn't fair. But the Lord's with you. Even when you don't know how it's going to turn out, even if everybody's against you, even if you're the only one, listen, have courage, because one can change the world. One man named Abraham began a nation by obeying God. And now we know him as Father Abraham. One man named Moses and led the people out of slavery. One man named Joseph saved the nation. One teenager named David fought for the nation. One woman named Esther rescued the nation. One preacher named Paul spread the gospel over the whole world. Listen, one person can make a difference. Do you want to be a difference maker? You got to realize you're created for a purpose. You got to realize you got to get wrapped up in a cause bigger than yourself. It takes courage. It takes courage if you want to be a difference maker. If you want to be a difference maker, lastly this morning, you have to make a choice. See, it's good to realize you're created for a purpose. It's good to get wrapped up in a cause bigger than yourself. It's good to have courage. But look here, please. You have to make a choice. There came a point in every one of these difference makers' lives where they made a choice. Here it is. Are you ready? My way or God's way? My way or God's way? My will or God's will? Man's word or God's word? Joshua said, but as for me. Go back to the book of Jude, look at verse 20. But ye. It's personal. Listen, all these difference makers made a choice in a key moment. And that choice they made, listen please, made all the difference. When Joseph made his choice not to lie with Potiphar's wife, it made all the difference. Had he lied with Potiphar's wife, we wouldn't have the story we have of Joseph today. Esther, she made her choice when she accepted Mordecai's letter, and she decided to go to the king for such a time as this, and it made a difference. David made a choice when he went to the king and said, nobody else is going to go, but I'll go. I've got a sling and I've got a rock and I've got God and I'll go. He made a difference. Josiah made the choice when he decided to seek the Lord. Daniel made his choice when the king's meat was put in front of him and he said no. He made his choice when they signed the petition not to pray. He made his choice. Listen, please. The Hebrew children made their choice when they heard the music. And they didn't bow. They made their choice. Mary and Joseph made their choice when the angel brought the news to them. Let me ask you this question. Look here. What about you? Have you made your choice? This is your moment. This is your time. This is your hour. I'm calling the West Coast Baptist College. I'm calling the young men, the young ladies. I'm calling you to make a choice today. I believe I said, do you want to be a difference maker? I believe everybody in this room today wants to be a difference maker. If not, you wouldn't be here. I believe you do want to be a difference maker. If you're going to be, you have to realize God's created you for a purpose. You have to get yourself wrapped up in a cause bigger than yourself. You have to be courageous for God and take a stand and earnestly contend for the faith, especially in these days of apostasy and adversity with the adversary. But the question is today, will you make the choice? Look, will you step over the line for Jesus Christ? It's easy to talk about, but it's a whole other thing when you have to do it. You might have to say goodbye to some of your friends. You might have to say goodbye to some things you've loved. But I want to tell you something. Serving Christ is worth it all. You will never regret serving Jesus Christ with your life. What are you going to do with your life? You say, I want to change the world. Listen, we don't need more celebrities today. We need Christ followers. Somebody say amen there. Amen. We don't need more influencers. We need some students willing to make an impact for Jesus Christ. We need some difference makers today. Some people that God can use. I want God to use me. I want God to use my life. I want God to do something in and through my life that only God can do. Because you see, look here, He's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. You know what I hope? I hope 10 years from now, you're preaching behind this pulpit. I hope they've called you back from Florida or Georgia or from Africa. Or from wherever it is. But the only way that's going to happen is you if you make a choice today, with God's help, that you're all in. Done playing games. I'm all in. I'm all in for Jesus Christ. I'm all in for His will because I want to be a difference maker. I wonder, let me ask you one more time. You can answer it. Do you want to be a difference maker?
Yes.
Then be all in for Jesus Christ.